of Jesus, we can clap our hands. We lift our voices in joyful singing. We shook off those heavy bands. Oh, but deep in my heart, there's a fire that's burning. It's one I can't explain. I don't have the words to tell it. Even I can't explain the change. They can't explain how wretched sinner is free from the guilt of the past. Washed in the blood, a new creation, singing I'm free at last. Broken pieces put back together, homes and lives rearranged. While the doubters stand and wonder, they can't explain the change. Try to explain away the blessings. Some laugh and criticize. We lift our voices in joyful singing. We stand and testify. Oh, we sing of the cross and great salvation. To some, it all sounds so strange. But why? Free from the guilt of the past, washed in the blood, a new creation, singing I'm free at last. Broken pieces put back together, homes and lives rearranged. While the doubters stand and wonder,
remember words to a song, all they need to do is look at the preacher and I can tell them scripture and verse. I couldn't remember that song either. I mean, I'm sitting there trying to go over my head. You know why? Because they hadn't sung it in a while. But the thing about it is, scriptures I can kind of remember a little bit, but not everything. But boy, I was blank as a goose on that. And I really like that song. That's good stuff. Turn your Bible to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter number 78, I believe. Yes, 78. Psalms chapter number 78. Whenever, years ago, you know, years ago, some of the older folks in this church can relate to this one. Indoor plumbing, okay? Indoor plumbing. Now, you young folks, no, indoor plumbing. I am so thankful for indoor plumbing, okay? I am thankful that that changed from all the inventions. I didn't bring my phone. My phone's out in the car because it's a hindrance. It really is. And so computer as small as a phone, you know? That phone, you say, well, we call it a phone. I don't get a lot of calls. I ain't like some folks like I used to get a lot of calls. I don't, not anymore, and I'm thankful. But it does more than just a phone. It's changed, hadn't it? Time's changed. And it's amazing how much change has really happened in our lifetime, in our lifetime. From that term, that indoor plumbing, that was way back in my young, That was way back, you know. But it's look at how we've evolved and changed. If you look at the world, boy, it's changed quickly, hadn't it? I mean, if you were raised in the Moulton area, go down and see the courthouse, you know. Go down and see that area, how it's changed. Look at what used to be, you know, where Walmart used, you know, it is now. Look what it used to be, you know. Think about all those changes. Some of those changes were pretty good. Some of them. Some of the changes we could scratch our head on. You know? Good or bad. I want to get you in a mindset this morning. I want to read one verse of Scripture, and I want you to get your mindset. God is not surprised at things that happen. God's not surprised. He doesn't wake up like we would wake up and say, well, boy, today's going to be a different day. That's not the way God is. God doesn't wake up in the morning. God's got everything under control as we use 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It don't matter. God's got it under control. I want you to read with me one verse of Scripture that's found in this Psalms, chapter number 78. And I want to look at verses number 12. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoran. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoran. Let us pray. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the privilege that we're able to sing and rejoice, be able to understand that, God, you've got better things for us. And I pray, God, for each heart that's here. Oh, God, if there be one lost, God, your will be done in their life and they'll be saved. But, God, draw us closer to you. Lord, let the service be what you'd have it to be, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The verse starts out with, marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers. Now, we're going to read a few more verses in a moment. I want you to notice something. Marvelous things. There's not many times in the Bible that I can look back and see things that made a huge difference. But there have been things in my lifetime that's made a huge difference. This morning, I get ready pretty early, and I'm ready really early. And years and years ago, you could turn on the television, catch maybe two or three different preachers if you wanted church services, really, that you could really enjoy and really get enthused on some of the things that was going on in some of the church services before you had to leave to go to church. Good luck with that nowadays, you know. Or on the way to church, sometimes you could click your station over and might catch some good preaching on the way to church. Good luck with that one right there too, isn't it? You know, times have really changed. Because nowadays it seemed like what was going on a few years ago, that's kind of like the old song, Precious Memories, you know. It just don't happen. Is that good or bad? I have to say it's bad, but some folks say, oh, that's a whole lot better. Our church has got so much more modern, and they don't use that term. Our church has got a whole lot better. We've evolved into something better. The Scripture here says, marvelous things was done in the sight of their fathers. Marvelous things. Now, we have got to determine what we think is important in life. You will set your priorities in life on what's important for you. Nobody else can. Nobody else can. Because what you love, you will do. What you hate, you will not do. But if you love something, boy, you'll get in the middle of it. I've washed cars. Something as minute as washing a car, and I've washed cars and enjoy it so much. That's silly, isn't it? Or I've actually cut grass and enjoy cutting grass. Well, that's crazy. But see, some folks might call me crazy, but some of the things that they do might be considered crazy also. But that's not what this is all about, cutting grass. No. Let's look at something a little bit deeper in this. And let's look at verses number 13. And the Bible says, he divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand up as a heap. Now, he didn't have to say where he saw that. He didn't have to say, well, there's scripture and verse to back this up. But when God divided the sea, it had to mean for somebody in the children of Israel on that day when the enemy was on there. I mean, they're chasing after them right quickly right there. And friend, the devil was going to be able to get them because they had no way out. There was only the sea in front of them and the enemy behind. What in the world can you do? Man, you call on God in a situation like that. Call on God. I don't know how to describe it, but friend, when these folks weren't involved in it, but they heard about it, and in mine and your case, we've read about what God's able to do. He's able to divide the sea. He's able to keep our enemies away. He's able for us to walk over on dry land when it would be an impossibility except for the goodness of God and what God is able to do. And you know what? These folks, their fathers were the one that went through this. What a marvelous thing. See, the Bible, the words that he used, is a marvelous thing to be able to walk over on the sea that was divided. Verse 14, in the daytime he also led them with a cloud and at night with a light of fire. Now once again, they weren't the one going through it. But friend, their fathers were, in the sight of their fathers. They were had the ability to be led by God in the daytime and to be led by God at nighttime. What better blessing is it when God leads you day and night? I don't care how far along you get in life. What better day is it whenever you get up in the morning and you're just having one of those kind of days that you just don't know what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, how you're going to accomplish all the troubles that seem like are on every side. And guess what? You go outside and all of a sudden that cloud just kind of leading you, huh? Or at nighttime, a fire is lit. See, whenever you've been through that kind of situation, when you've been through those kinds of circumstances, you're thankful when God leads you. You're thankful when you're led by God. It's marvelous things that can happen that for us, if you hadn't seen it or you hadn't experienced it, it don't mean nothing to you. It don't mean nothing to you. If you've never been in a revival service, or if you've never been in a service, a normal service, when somebody jumps up and testifies and somebody else jumps up and testifies and somebody else jumps up and testifies, and the next thing you know, there's crying all over the house. The next thing you know, there's rejoicing and shouting all over. If you've never been in that kind of service, then you don't know. You just hear about it as a rumor. As a rumor. Friend, there's marvelous things happen to the children of Israel. They were led by daytime. They were led by nighttime. They were able to cross the sea and ever to walk upon on dry ground. Verses 14 and verses 15, he clave the rocks in the wilderness and he gave them drink as of great depths. You know this story. And I'll reference it a little bit more on. Friend, whenever they got thirsty, man, God give them something to drink. Whenever they got hungry, God fed them. Look at verses 16. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. Man, if you start thinking about what God did for them as he led them, as he directed them, man, God took care of his people. But now, you must see God's people as their fathers saw those things. They didn't see them firsthand. When I read the Bible, I'm reading it from a historical part. Many of those things that I read, all those things that I look at, and every one of those things that I see, I know it happened in the past. And when God blessed those folks like he did, man, their lives ought to have been changed to the fullest. They ought to have been the one that that was bragging on God every time he turned around. You know, I've done a whole lot of bragging on God. There's some things that God's done for me that has caused me to brag. Look at this next verse, what happened. The Bible says in verses 17, after all these things, and they sinned yet more against him. Yet they sinned more. Not less. You see, it would have been very easy to say, well, you know, because this happened, we can kind of do a little better. The Bible said they sinned more. They sinned more. What was wrong with these folks that they would sin more? Why won't people learn? Man, their fathers experienced some of the greatest things in the world that this Bible holds. And yet, they sin more. They sin more. There has to be a reason why that they would sin more by provoking the Most High in the wilderness, and they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Verse 19, yet they spake against God and said, God, can God furnish us a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote a rock, but the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? In other words, when God give us one thing, why not another? If God could give us a dollar, why not give us $2? If God can give you a house, why not give you a house and 100 acres? In other words, it seemed like the more that we ask God and the more God gives, we want more. The children of Israel were never satisfied with what God had done for them. That's a pitiful example, isn't it? It's a pitiful situation when you can't be content with such things that you have. It's a pitiful situation when God's blessing is just poured out and poured out and poured out and you're wanting more of something else. See, I don't mind the blessings of God, but I want God to do the blessing and not me do the complaining. But here's what they did, and they began to say this, and they began to do this in verses 21. Therefore, the Lord heard this and was wroth, so that a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger was up against against Israel, because they believed not in God, nor trusted not in his salvation. Two things. They didn't believe. And they didn't trust. They didn't believe, and they didn't trust. Now you would think the children of Israel, you would think that persuasion is the most important thing. We've heard a lot of stories here lately, and you've seen a lot of things happen in your lifetime. We have seen a lot of persuasive things that happen. God has been able to do things like part the Red Sea, be able to feed God's people, to be able to watch them march across on dry ground, to be able to be with them, to lead them and to guide them. Everything that we taught, God, man, they could see it. And when they would tell that story, you can tell folks a story. But if you've lived it, then that story is a whole lot easier to explain. Some people that's read the Bible has read the Bible and preached from the Bible. Friend, when they know not the truth themselves, it's just a book they're reading and words that they're saying. But when you've been born again and you read from that Bible and you preach from that Bible, it comes from the heart also. The biggest difference in church world today is you've got to believe in your heart and express it from your heart. They were seeing these things, they complained, and they kept complaining, and they believed not, and they trusted not. It didn't end there, though. No, it didn't end there. Verse number 24, and he rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. Man did eat angels' food. I don't know how much better we can get right now. We've been made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what the book tells us. We have come up to the supper table and put our feet under God's table and been fed by God that man could never do. Man cannot give us what God can. And when these folks were blessed by God, they were, this is the terminology, they were given, what better food upon this earth can you get than angels' food? You cannot get anything better than what God gives you from heaven. Nothing can compare. Nothing can we say. You know, there's some fine restaurants in this world. There's some restaurants that'll, man, it'll cost you hundreds of dollars to have one meal. Not worth it in my opinion. But they might have the finest, you may have to wear the finest clothes. You may drive up there in the finest vehicle. But that's not to be compared with food and surroundings that God can provide. Big difference, isn't it? Notice they were fed by angels' food. That they had that. Well, that ought to have been enough for us. He caused an east wind, verse 26, to blow in heaven, and by the power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh upon them as dust and feathered fowls like the sand of the sea. He let it fall in the midst of the camp round about their inhabitants. If you don't understand that, that was quail, okay? And so that they did eat and were filled, and he gave them their own desire. He gave them their own desire. Almost like saying, whatever you want, God gave it. Whatever, boy, that's a remedy for a trouble coming when you get what you want. When you ask of God and He gives it, what do you ask for next? You may say, well, if I can get this special kind of car, special kind of house, special kind of job, special kind of this or that, if I can only get, God, if you'll bless me with this, oh, look here what I'll do for you. The children of Israel were blessed on every side, the finest of this and that and the other. Hey, you might say, I wouldn't want to live in there. Friend, if I can have God to lead me and all of a sudden God gives me everything that I want, men, don't you think I won't be thankful? Don't you think that I won't pray and be thankful? Sometimes even we forget what God has done for us. I'm talking about right here in this church. We forget what God has done. It's easy for me to jump on the bandwagon of the children of Israel, how they disobeyed God. It's easy for them to see all the blessings that they had and they still didn't follow God. But sometimes it happens right in our own doorstep, how that we are not thankful when the Bible says, be ye thankful. Sometimes we just not. Look at what the verses say. The Bible said they did all this. The wrath of, verse 31, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still. For all this they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. I don't know what you can do. I really don't know what you can do when you're blessed and you still sin. Then when God begins to show you your sins and you still sin. The Bible says in 1 John, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. But if we confess our sin, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just, forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, when God lays out the plan, we must be careful, because if we just look to what our fathers went through and not what we're going through. Because I want to tell you, what they experienced just kind of sounds really, really familiar, what me and you are going through right now. Right now. Right now. For this they sin still and believe not the wondrous works. I would say that because they sinned and did not believe, what was we going to do about those marvelous things? We have got our eyes focused on everything else but what God has given us for a different reason. Now, here's what I want to show you. And you don't turn. I want you to listen because you know this one. Listen to what this says in John chapter 14. And I'm not reading the first verse. I'm going to read verses 2 where it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." Boy, now that ought to get us right there, wouldn't it? But he says, "If it were not so, I would have told you." Now, right now, if I just stop reading that verse, that's pretty good. That means in my Father's house up in heaven, there's many mansions. Wow. That's truth. Red letters, Christ said it. But here's what it says in that verse. "I go to prepare a place for you." I'm not going to read the rest of it. Because the rest of it says, "Oh, if I go and get prepared, well, I'm going to come again and get you." But he says, right now, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." I don't know how to explain this any further. I like the blessings of God that he gives me every day. And friend, God gives me plenty. And if you get your heart right, you'll see God blesses you plenty. If you'll quit complaining so much and start thanking God, you'll see your blessings. But watch this. He promised, this was Jesus' promise, that "I'm gone to heaven to prepare a place for you." Now, I don't know when. I don't know how. I can't tell you all the things that's in it. I can't tell you the size, the value, what's going to look like, what's going to be like. You ever got a new car and smell of them new cars? I don't know what they do to it. I don't know how you can imitate that. But friend, it's going to smell new. Heaven's mansion is going to, it's going to smell new. Friend, God's prepared that for you. Not a group. We're going to have a group. We're all going to get one spot. No. God individually looked and saw me and went and prepared a place for me. You got saved, God did it for you. In other words, God doesn't say, "Here's a blessing for everybody." God says in this spot, "Here's a blessing for you." God has saw what me and you have done in this world, and this is what God is going to give you. Now, why am I saying? Marvelous things happened to our fathers. Some of those marvelous things, like the parting of the Red Sea. Some of those things, like how God provided. Some of those things, how God never forsook them. Some of those things, like how God in Matthew or in John and all the other spots in there, like this where we read, "I'm gone to prepare a place for you," only has value when you read the next. Because if I go, I will come again and receive you. Which means I'm on my way. I'm going to grab you and you're going back with me. You see how sometimes our world gets around in our troubles and we sin more and we do less and we don't thank God for what he does. And we find ourselves associated with everything in the world but what God wants us to do. And we find reasons not to instead of to doing what God wants us to do. We look for the things that we could be doing and saying, oh, look, that has benefits down the road. I'm talking about benefits in God right now. What God wants me to do is far more important than what I think is for my future. It's what God's doing right now today. The very first time you grab a hold of God and you really let God speak to you, it won't be your father's blessings that you'll be thankful for. It'll be the blessings that God gives you. Hey, I don't mind my family being blessed. I don't mind your mom and daddy getting an extra blessing. Have you ever seen them folks that'll win that lottery or something and they'll get millions of dollars and they'll just buy their parents a house? Shame on them folks. Well, they got them a house. Yeah, they did good, didn't they? I'm glad God doesn't bless that way. Well, the moment they buy that house, it begins to deteriorate. You know what we need to have? It's not a home on this side. Get one of them places on the other side. Looky here. God began to show them, and all they did was sin more. I'm so thankful that I'm headed to a place where there's no sin will ever be in. I'm thankful that whenever I go, the devil and his crowd won't have no part nor lot in it. I'm glad whenever I go, I get the blessings of knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is coming back just to get me. And if he comes back for me only, I'm thankful for God has prepared a place for me. And guess what? He's prepared it for you. For you. And it's all because it was marvelous things. I'll close with this. I don't know if it's possible, but I believe whenever we get to see what God has done, I know we'll thank him and I know we'll praise him, but if we have any of it, in any of the things that we think we have down here, I believe it's almost like this. We won't have the words to be able to say what God has done for us. What God has done. It goes back to sometimes whenever I pray, I don't know the words to say because of what God has done for me. And I'm not talking about material. I'm talking about spiritual. Because I don't care if you're a millionaire. You can be a multimillionaire. But if you don't have God, you've got nothing. Of mine, whenever you got God, you got everything in this world. And your life down here makes a difference. You'll be able to say marvelous things that he did. And you can put you as a result of it. I'm glad I'm saved today. When he saved my soul, he done something for me that no one else could do for me. Brother Greg, a song. I wish I could tell you more. And I wish I could show you more. But I can tell you, if you come to God, you'll be able to experience more. I can't tell you how I'm saved. And I wish I could show you by feeling, but I can't do that. But I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, because when God changed my heart, I have passed from death unto life. And that's just hard to explain. But I'm glad I'm saved today. How about you? May we stand to our feet and sing a verse. God's speaking to you. Marvelous things our Father has done. He can do them for you.